two, three.
Do it.
Case on a deep drop. Steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side. Caught by Diggs. Stay up.
Oh, my God. Loose.
Oh, my God.
At the 30.
No.
Way.
Touchdown.
Are you kidding me?
What a miracle finish.
It's a Minneapolis miracle.
All right, welcome back to episode 16, Sweet 16, Mike, the Scolgers podcast. How are you doing today?
Doing good.
I'm, of course, your host, Ed Rodmerkel. Cool. You're Mike Anderson. We're in the studio today. Announcement time. Announcement.
Big announcement for us.
We're going to be joining the Climbing the Pocket group of podcasts. They're on Podbean. They're also on their own website, climbingthepocket.com. So if you're on any one of those, you know, check us out. We're going to be there. You're listening to us now, hopefully, from one of those. Otherwise, Scolgers.com. That's where we're at. That's where our home is.
That's where we live.
Posting some good articles there, hopefully, this season, and a lot of good content on the podcast side. So check us out there. Otherwise, on Twitter, ScolgersMN on Twitter. That's the official Twitter of the podcast. Otherwise, me, Namok7 on the Twitter. Mike?
Musky_Mike.
Where we're at.
You can find all that on the website.
Drop us a line if you got a question you want us to answer on the show. Drop it in there. Hashtag Scolgers. We'll get to it.
Yeah.
You know? That's what we're all about here. Fan interaction. So after that intro, after that excitement, Mike, we had some breaking news we got to break. Just happened during recording here. Shortly before recording.
All right. Hit me with it.
Rashad Hill left practice on a cart.
Oh, God.
So here we go again, Mike. Here we go again, you know?
And it continues, huh?
And it does, you know. Sometimes that's how it works. You know, you can't always be winners.
Well, that's a couple weeks in a row here. We've got some negative information about an offensive lineman.
Some on the team, some off the team.
Right.
Well, to shift gears to that for a second here, Richie Incognito, of course, you all have seen the Twitter rant of Mike Zimmer's an effing liar. He's not, by the way. Mike Zimmer and team did not have an interest in Richie Incognito. That was a Tony Sperano thing, which is fine. You know, players and coaches talk all the time.
Yeah.
But don't call the head coach of a team you're trying to get on a liar. That's not going to work out for you. But he donated $1,000 to the Zimmer Foundation. I'm wearing one of the Zimmer Foundation hats this afternoon.
You are.
It's
a good-looking hat.
It's a great-looking hat. The Zimmer Ridge Ranch, I think it's a limited quantity right now, limited time, so.
Got a nice camo on there.
Head on over to the Zimmer Foundation, pick yourself up one of these. I don't get a cut of this, it's just, you know, great product and great cost, so head on over there if you have the means. Otherwise, I don't think this $1,000 is going to get Richie Incognito a contract.
No,
with the
Vikings. I think, you know, you wonder how much of this is him trying to do a little bit of a cleanup, because obviously we're already seeing it with the Vikings. You're going to see it with other teams. There is going to be a need for body. I mean, it's not even necessarily, you know, he's got experience playing at one time at a high level in the NFL, and you're going to get to a point. I mean, look at the Vikes from a couple of years back. You know, there's a team that maybe why they might not quit or get that injured,
right?
Just because I don't know if we've ever seen anything the likes of that before, but
hopefully never again,
right? But teams get banged up, and so I think whether it would be an agent or someone within his circle might have said, "Listen, you know, this isn't the way to go about it." And
yeah.
Now he's kind of, you know, he's done the apology, trying to kind of clear the air a little bit, and then you know, making a nice gesture for $1,000 to the Zimmer Foundation, and I think you said it, that I don't see a place for him here, but certainly
not yet. If we get desperate, maybe, but
certainly if he is trying to come back, I won't be shocked to see him on an NFL team this year at some point in time.
Yeah,
I mean, it wouldn't.
I mean, like you said, injuries just happen, and sometimes you just need an experienced body that you think can get in there and
yep.
pick it up quick. So you know, it's possible, and like I said, this goes a long way to kind of smoothing that over and
yeah.
saying, you know what, I made the mistake, I shouldn't have acted out like that, but here, maybe this makes up for it. Maybe this can some small iota make up for me flying off the handle.
Yep.
And you know what? I wish him good luck in all his ventures. You know, you have no ill will towards the guy. Hope he can find what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Just probably not with my team because I don't think that culture fits quite right.
Right.
But we'll break in here with further breaking news, Mike.
You got more for me. All right.
More. Rashad Hill is back practicing.
He's back at practice already.
So obviously.
Well, that's.
Not a big deal. So those of you that thought like for the last 3 minutes we were gonna have Rashad Hill on IR, you can breathe a sigh of relief. We should be okay.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, allegedly. We'll pause. We'll pause on that thought because you never know what can happen.
Well, I mean, right? there's
we're just gonna you know, we're gonna knock on some wood here, you know, and make sure.
Preseason injuries are risky because you.
They're rough.
I mean, look at McKinnon left. I think it was yesterday with a knee injury. Turns out he's going to be just fine.
But muscle strain, something like that.
You've got other guys that have left with a knee injury, and they're done for the year.
Yeah.
So it's a scary thing anytime, especially when a cart's involved.
Yeah. You know? Anytime you have to be helped off like that, it's not good. So we got some bad news and we got some good news. Which do you want first?
Well, we're kind of rolling on, like, the bad news here, so maybe we'll just finish that out.
Okay, bad news. Nick Easton was confirmed to need that neck surgery.
Okay.
Apparently he had some kind of herniated disc. Had to have surgery. Placed on IR, I believe, at this point. So he's likely done for the season. Likely this also means, and I mean, I'm not a doctor, I'm not projecting this, I don't think this is a report that's out there, but likely means his career could be shortened at some span. Because neck injuries are always one of those things where you really got to be careful with them, right? So he's out for likely the year. Maybe he gets back late in the year. I don't know. I don't know what that recovery's like, but
Right. Definitely
on IR. So definitely at least 8 weeks here. So we'll see how that goes. It could be kind of similar to the Sam Bradford situation, where maybe towards the end of the season we get another injury. He's close to coming back, so we pick him back up and just kind of stash him in the reserve in case we need him. But definitely doesn't help the O-line situation. You'd hope to be bringing back that starter, that veteran presence on that line, and continue that cohesiveness. But, you know, it is what it is. Everyone's dealing with injuries. As far as it goes, left guard is arguably one of the least important positions because a lot of times you're double-teaming. You're not man up on someone, so you have a lot of help. So you put a rookie in there, you put a second or third-year guy in there, should be all right. You shouldn't see a ton of drop-off in that position.
Okay.
So.
I mean, we had kind of talked. It was the dreaded second opinion.
Yep.
And it seems like not only the NFL, but most sports, if they're going in for that, it's usually not a great deal. You know, even if they don't opt for surgery, you're typically out for months.
You don't
try.
Go for a second opinion to try and take 2 weeks to 3 weeks. You take second opinion to try and turn 9 months into 6 months.
Right. So, I mean, we touched on it last show. Definitely, I think we both were kind of thinking long term.
Yes.
Maybe not necessarily the season, but certainly from the Vikings camp, it seems like they're expecting him to miss the season. Although I believe I saw them state that they don't believe it is a career-threatening injury.
Which is good, but again, a lot of things we didn't think were career-threatening, like Sharif Floyd's injury, and then you just don't get the regeneration you want back, so who knows?
Now, from a...
We hope for the best, but...
You know, being the... I don't know if you're certified or not, but the cap... you're kind of the cap man, the cap expert that you are.
Cap guru a little bit, yeah.
Are there any implications for him basically missing the entirety of this year? Or is it, you know...
I think the only one that's possible is because I believe he was a restricted free agent coming into this year.
Yeah, he had a tender on him?
Yes, I think he had a second-round tender or something like that. I think the only thing there is I think if he stays on IR the entire year, I believe that year might toll because it's the last year of his contract.
Okay.
So technically he would just be on that same contract next year, I believe. The rules could be a little bit fuzzy with the restricted free agent tag. I'm not exactly sure. I know last year of a rookie contract, this is the whole Teddy Bridgewater thing. It was the last year of his contract last year, so technically that could have told if we would have kept him off the roster for a certain period of time and actually pursued it.
I remember that was drama.
Right, and I think this was also the case with Sharif Floyd. Technically his contract was on the books for this year, but we cut him effectively. So his contract told because it was the last year of his contract, and he wasn't able to perform. So that's kind of how that works. It's not commonplace to see that, and when you see it with something like this, like I said, it's the same contract amount for the next year.
Okay.
They still get paid what they got paid, what he's going to get paid this year, whatever's guaranteed in that, which I think that contract is 100% guaranteed. He's still going to get that, but next year he's also coming back at that same price.
Okay.
So I guess you could say that's a plus, because then you don't need to renegotiate next year if that happens. So I guess looking on the bright side, a little bit cheaper left guard option right now. So
yeah.
We'll see.
All right. To the good news.
Rummers is back at practice.
Okay.
He had twisted up ankle, so he's back at practice, back practicing at right guard. So that should be good. Heard nothing new from Elfline yet, but...
Yeah, I hadn't either. But we were kind of expecting maybe later this week.
I was thinking, honestly, yeah, probably next week after Jaguars game.
Yeah.
Get him in there for preseason game 3-4. I mean, maybe a couple snaps in 3. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know what their plan is for him.
Right. Yeah, and if we obviously we'll monitor our sources that we have and, you know, see if anything breaks, certainly while we're recording, and if I think we're both pretty good throughout the week. If we see something that's from a reliable source, you know, we'll get it out to everyone as
like I said, quick
as we see it. So
follow myself, Namok7, follow you, Musky _ Mike.
Yep.
I'm constantly pushing stuff. Staying on the pulse. So if you want to be in that loop, if you're not already, give us a follow right there. So let's move on then to the preseason game number 1. The most important game of anyone's lives. So, start off with, this is the first time we see Kirk Cousins throwing in an actual game that isn't just at the end of practice.
Right.
And he looked extremely well. Do you have stats up there for me on that at all?
Yeah, I do. I believe I've got Cousins was 4 for 4, 42 yards and a score, coming in with a 150.0 rating.
That's a pretty high rating, Mike.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Now, for those of you watching the game, if you have the ability to watch it, he threw an exceptionally dime pass to Diggs.
I did see that one, yes.
Just a perfect strike. I mean, I don't think the DB could have had a chance at that, and anyone criticizing that throw, like, oh, a good quarterback would have thrown and that would have been a touchdown. No. That ball was perfectly placed where Diggs could actually get it by extending and perfectly out of the reach of the DB. That was a dime.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anyone that can argue with that pass.
No, I was listening to Ben Lieber this morning, and he said the same thing. He's like, that was such a perfectly thrown football, because even if Diggs doesn't get there, it's going to safely fall to the ground. It's not getting intercepted.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, got the juices pumping a little bit when you saw that. You saw Diggs out there just looking like he had something to prove. I mean...
Well, he's on the big contract now, you know?
I'm guessing that's where you're going next, but Diggs, I mean, that connection looked, I mean...
Well, I'll preface the rest of this conversation here with kind of more or less the way I look at preseason games and the way I evaluate preseason games. So, the way I look at it, I'm searching for a couple things. One, what is your receiver chemistry with the quarterback? All right, we're not game planning here. This is just basically a random collection of plays that you're throwing out. So what is that timing like? What is that rapport? How much trust is there? All right. Now, what I saw from Cousins and Diggs was that trust is right there. He knew he could throw it, and he knew that Diggs was going to be there to catch it. So that's already starting, right? The second thing I look for is offensive line communication. And what do I mean by that? I mean by that making adjustments to the rush. I mean by that being able to pass off blocks, being able to effectively get to the second level and know that the rest of your guys around you are taking care of their business. Now, that wasn't perfect in what I saw, but it was definitely very well executed on a select few running plays in the first team offense. I think Murray had like a 50-yard or 40-yard run or something like that. Just beautiful blocking on that. A couple of our guys got to the next level. There was a bevy of good blitz pickups. So that's getting there. I know, I don't expect that to be perfect. We're not returning the 5 same starters as we did last year. But that was solid enough to where I am not super concerned with the O-line.
Yeah.
Third thing I'm looking for is just in general, what kind of adjustments each unit makes and the cleanliness of how they play. Both first team units played exceptionally clean and they were exceptionally crisp in what they were doing. Even more so, the second series of defense, where we had some starters leave, was even as clean as the first team was. So that shows that the coaching is really sinking in with some of these younger guys. It's really sinking into our depth players, and they're picking it up to the point where if one or two of our guys goes out, I'm not that concerned.
Right.
You had an awesome play by Anthony Harris on one of those interceptions. You had Jack Tocho make a couple of splash plays, intermixed with some less plays, you know, less quality plays with Tocho, but the D-line was disruptive. We'll get to more of that a little bit later, but that's what I'm looking for, is kind of how those units play, how crisp they are.
Yeah.
So, backing up a little bit to Kirk again. Kirk obviously has a rapport with Diggs. That's clear. But where was Thielen? What's Thielen's stat line?
Mr. Thielen.
So you hooked on to Thielen right now?
Let me see what we got here. I cannot seem to find him on the receiving stat sheet. So
I had to ask Mike, is there a problem with the Kirk and Thielen chemistry?
Blake Bell even made the stat sheet with zero receptions but two targets.
Okay, so what's the problem with Thielen and Kirk?
Okay. I don't think we've got an issue here.
You don't think there's an issue? No targets.
I don't think we won no targets. One series. I just don't think I'm worried.
So wait, are you telling me that if a guy targets a guy zero times, no catches, no targets, no nothing, that you're not worried about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you consider preseason game one series, I'm not worried.
I completely agree, Mike.
Yeah, that's
an astute observation. So, not worried about that. If you are out there, let me quell your thoughts there. It's like you said, it's preseason week one. Is the four throws, right? You're not going to be able to spread the ball out that often on one series. It's just not going to happen. So, let's just cool it on that.
Actually,
I think we'll be fine.
On that really nice throw to Diggs on the right side, you know, the beautiful throw you were talking about earlier. Thielen was actually coming across underneath. And
I think he was pretty covered.
Yeah, but he almost, I think he drew the corner, kind of hesitated for a second, and it gave Diggs maybe that half step. And he had more than a half step on him anyway. But so, I mean, he was out there. If you're watching, you could see him. I think you nailed it. They looked pretty crisp for preseason game one. And the thing is, yeah, can you take much away from a preseason game, much less week one? No. But then again, you're listening to us to try to, you know, get jacked up for the season, and so we're gonna look at it and we're gonna make some observations, and that's what we do here.
And like I said, I mean, there are certain things to look for, because this game, no matter what anyone will say, is not meaningless. This matters. This is ones-on-ones.
Oh, there's okay? jobs. I mean, yeah.
This matters a lot, especially to those depth guys.
Yep, but
as far as first team goes, this is the first time they've had to go against an actual other team besides their own defense or their own offense.
Yeah.
So being able to see that, being able to key in on a brand new set of individuals, that's complexities that you can't just manufacture in the practice field.
Right.
So, yeah, you can't gain a lot by learning of the game planning that's going to happen in these first couple preseason games, but there's stuff to glean from. There's little bits that you can pick out and say, wow, that looked really good, I wasn't expecting that, or that looked really bad, we need to work on that.
Yeah.
There's a couple little nuggets you can grab. So, we alluded to this a little. Next topic, we got the O-line, which I think did all right, pretty all right, considering all the injuries we have and the backups we have in there right now.
Right.
With Elflein being out, obviously Easton being out. So, I don't know if you were paying attention much to it. General thoughts on how they did?
Well, you know, I was telling you, I had the ability to catch a few plays. I listened to the entire game. And so it's difficult to watch kind of the intricacies of line play when you're listening to it. You know, PA does a pretty solid job of kind of letting you know, hey, this guy's struggling a little bit, you know, consistently getting beat up, or this guy's playing really well. But, you know, from, I guess, from a listening standpoint, I didn't really take much away from it. Everything I've seen, just doing a little bit of reading after it, sounds like they had a relatively similar opinion to what you're saying. Wasn't anything that increased your fear or worry. If anything, I would say maybe it appeased it just at a very little level.
I suppose it kind of depended on where you were at.
Yeah, but I think the people that were like,
for me, I'm like, this is an average line.
Yeah.
It's still an average line.
Yep.
I wasn't enthusiastically impressed with anyone, but
right.
I also wasn't depressed coming out of it.
Right.
So if you're one of those guys, you're sitting in there, oh, Easton isn't back yet, or Elfline isn't back yet, when is, you know, is that going to be an issue going forward? Easton isn't in there. All this stuff, your doom and gloom. This should have given you some glimmer of hope for improvement.
Yeah.
Because I think what we saw is we saw some of our guys that were picks last year kind of step up. We saw Isadora had a couple very nice plays. He had a couple very nice second-level plays. The one I'm talking about, Isadora had just a great second-level block, and Hill just got crushed. But I think Hill was, he missed the snap count. So it's kind of a mental error. If you look at it, he reacts a good half second to a second late than the DE does. So he doesn't really get a chance to get around. But from what I saw from also Avant Collins, I think that's how you say it. Avant, like Vasante, Vasant, Shanko. I don't know. One of those weird Frenchy type names. I don't know how to pronounce that, Mike. If you have some insight.
I can do some digging.
Otherwise, I'm just going to go with Avant Collins. He played some left guard, then he switched out to left tackle. He had a couple really nice left tackle snaps that I saw. Adjusted well to the pressure, was able to pick up the speed rush and quiet past the quarterback very nicely. So I think there's a lot of positives you can take away here.
Okay.
A lot of people were impressed with Brian O'Neill's play, saying he outplayed Hill. But this is where you got to take the preseason game. Brian Hill was against the 2s and 3s. Hill was against the 1s and 2s. So maybe let's pump the brakes that O'Neill is head and shoulders above Hill. That
yeah.
isn't the case right now. Okay. It could be possible in the future. Could be possible later this year. Could be possible in the next 2-3 years. I don't know. But 2s and 3s are drastically different than 1s and 2s. So let's pump the brakes on the O'Neill train right now. But what I saw was promising. His technique was solid. Still probably needs to put on some strength.
A bit, yeah. So. But again, I think if you look at this, it even if you're not going to take it as, yeah, he's better than Hill, still the fact that he's coming out and competing and not looking way out of place, you know, way
yep.
overwhelmed. Because we've seen that with guys, you know,
absolutely.
Whether it be Beavers or, you know, Clemmings, I don't remember if it was so much in the preseason or if it was down there, but...
See, well, here's, okay, so this is going to be a huge sidebar, but...
Yeah, I don't want to get you down the TJ Clemmings rabbit hole, but...
We'll touch on it real quick
if you haven't heard any past episodes, this is a recurring thing.
The problem that we had with TJ Clemmings was he came into the NFL with having only 2 years' experience as a defensive tackle. Prior to that, he was, I believe, a defensive tackle or defensive end. So he only had a couple years of service at that position. He was nowhere near ready to start, and then he was forced to start for Phil Loadholt, who went down... in the offseason, I think, what was that, in 15, I believe? So he started at right tackle in 2015, his third year of playing the position. Not nearly ready technique-wise, probably not nearly ready strength-wise,
yep.
but he's forced into doing that. Then what happens in 2016 is now all of a sudden he goes from being the right tackle to, after the first three games when Matt Kuhl goes down, he goes to shift to the left tackle. And then we bring in Jake Long, and now he goes back to right tackle. And then 3 games after that, Jake Long goes out, and now he goes back to being left tackle. Now, to equate that to a human being, shifting size on the offensive line is essentially shifting hands to handwriting. It's not easy. And once you learn how to do it with the other hand, I guarantee you're not going to be able to pick it up easily with the other hand again, and then go back, and then go back. It's not that easy. So to anyone that says TJ Clemmings isn't a good athlete, wasn't ready for the game, I think that's a false assessment. His development was destroyed based on the situation he was in. So hopefully that doesn't happen to Mr. O'Neill. Hopefully we can keep him on the right if that's where we end up keeping him.
Yep.
And he can develop there. But like you said, I very much agree with what you're saying there. He didn't look overwhelmed. He looked like he understood the techniques. He was performing well enough to where you can say, okay, he gets a little bit stronger. He gets a little more comfortable with this mentally. I think he'll be a very solid starter at that right tackle position. Hopefully long term, like a Phil Loadout, you know? But we'll see.
All right.
I don't know. Who knows?
What else? What are some other takeaways here?
Well, we got this thing called the Rock Thompson Show. I don't know if you saw that there at all.
It's hard to miss.
Yeah, it was extremely hard to miss. I think he put up, 133 all-purpose yards? Is that correct?
We got, Rock Thomas, 8 for 29 on the ground and 3 for 102 in the air with two scores. So you total that up, basically 11 touches for 131 yards and two scores for Rock Thomas, who probably your leader in the clubhouse for RB3 right now, I would say.
Absolutely. I think coming out of camp. It's early, but I think coming out of camp, he wasn't really on the radar much.
Yeah.
I think it was Mike Boone was the front runner for RB3. But coming out of this game, I mean, this is why I love these preseason games, because you get some of these stars that just absolutely crush it. And you say, okay, if this is what they can do at this level of competition, and they're showing out the rest of their position group, does that translate into the next level? Does that translate against full starters?
Yep.
So hopefully, and I'm fine with sitting Dalvin this entire preseason, honestly. No reason to risk that knee, but hopefully you start to put him in more for Murray, get him more against those twos, maybe some snaps against the ones, see what you have there. I think his style is a lot closer to McKinnon's than it is to either Murray or Dalvin. I think those two backs are pretty similar.
Yeah.
So I could honestly see him as like a third down type back. He had a couple very nice pass protection snaps. So I could honestly see him as being that McKinnon role where he comes in as that third down back and just kind of plays a screen game, because he looked lethal, man. Just absolutely stunning.
Yeah, I mean, 78-yard long touchdown. So you take that one away, you know, you got, another couple catches for 24 yards. Average.
Still pretty damn good.
Average 3.6 on the ground. Latavius just kind of running through the rushing attack here. Latavius Murray had 4 for 43 with a long of 21. Mac Brown, 11.
Nice, 21.
Yep, 11 for 34, a long of 11. Mike Boone, 12 for 22 and a long of 10. So, I mean, you look at it, we had a 21, an 11, a 10, and a 9. Now, I realize some of those guys are getting in later in the game against some not necessarily NFL-level players, but
that's
still, I mean,
quality,
it's...
quality run offense.
Yeah. Even Kyle Sloter had a 2 for 19 with a 14 yards scramble, so...
Mr. Sloter.
Yeah, and actually, while we touch on Mr. Sloter, the Vikings quarterback play outside of Cousins... really not bad. I mean, Sloter 9 for 11 for 69 and a score, 123 rating. Semien 11 for 17, 165 and 2. 111. I'm just saying it's not.
No,
you know,
yeah, true. It, true. It's not horrible. Semien's stat line slightly oversells him.
Well, I mean.
Because he looked at him, he didn't look that great, but yeah.
Right. But I mean, on the flip side, you know, look at some of these. You had Case Keenum 1 for 4. Looked a little bit overmatched against the defense that he used to have on his team. You have Paxton Lynch, 6 for 11 in a pick with a 22 rating. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know,
no,
it's,
yeah,
you get it
absolutely.
Preseason game one,
absolutely.
But it's kind of nice to see success everywhere.
Yep.
You know, there's still go back, and everyone's going to be working on things this week, but overall, just a lot of success in a lot of areas.
And, you know, here's the thing. Even though the game ended 42-28, I still consider this a dominant performance by the defense. Because when the ones and twos were in there, they were absolutely shutting it down.
First quarter didn't give up, 14-0 after the first quarter.
Didn't they give up a first down, like, midway through the second quarter. So, shout out to my buddy Adam West out there, who was really not happy with, he wanted to pitch the shutout, at least in the first half. I'm like, dude, Okay, we shut them down in a first and second team defense. Shut them down for one. Then they came back and tied it at 28, I believe. And then we win 42-28.
Right.
I mean, what more do you want? That's the kind of team I want right there.
Right.
I mean, yeah, okay. Your twos and threes, they gave up a couple touchdowns that, you know what, that's mental errors. That's rookies making mistakes. That's going to happen. It's preseason. But then you come back. You have Slaughter come back, lead them to a comeback victory, which I believe he did last season as well in the third preseason game, I think.
Yeah, one of the... It might have been the fourth game, actually.
Either way.
Because I know I was coming home from a fantasy draft late in August, I think, when that happened. But
it might have been the fourth, because I believe that game was on my birthday.
Okay.
So.
Could have been.
I don't know. So, yeah, I agree with you there. It's nice to see us ball out, and it's nice to see the defense also ball out on that side.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I was just going to say another couple quick things. Tashawn Bauer, a player that, you know, I think we both kind of liked, quietly had a decent little game. Three solo tackles, a sack, pass deflection, got to the quarterback, and then Holton Hill, four solo tackles and a pass deflection. So, you know, some of these guys that we've kind of been talking about here over the last little bit, you know, I mean, again, preseason game one, but I don't know. I'm coming out with a lot of positivity, looking forward to game two, and we're going to see a much better defense, you know. And it's right. Weird to say that going from Denver, but you had a Von Miller-less Denver defense.
Denver's really taken a step back the last few years, honestly. So
yep. So, but now you're going to have Jacksonville. Granted, we learn, you know, not really breaking news, but kind of Jalen Ramsey will not be traveling with the team. Another member of the team also not going to travel. So you're going to lose a little bit.
Something like that?
Yeah, I don't remember. I could pull it up here. You'll lose a little bit from Ramsey. Granted, I don't know how much he necessarily would have played if he would have played.
Maybe if, same with like a Harrison, the first series, maybe.
But anyways, it's exciting. What else? You got anything else to kind of touch on from this game?
Let's see. Jaleel Johnson was in place of Linville Joseph. Nothing wrong with Linville. Don't freak out, okay?
Yeah.
It's called the Veterans Day Off. They didn't. You know, doesn't need to get those reps on his tires. So they put in Jaleel Johnson, gave him a nice long look. I forget how long he was in there, but from what I saw, he played exceptionally well, as we were expecting last year. He played really well in the preseason. Hoping this year he takes the next step, and we can kind of get that D-line rotating a bit more, keep him fresher.
Yeah.
You know, do the new hotness of the Philadelphia Eagles and keep those guys fresh, keep them rotating, get the quarterback a lot more.
How did you feel, you know, and I don't, maybe new look offense isn't the right terminology, but just, you know, with DeFilippo coming in and kind of a new quarterback, a lot of new moving parts, you know, to a point, did you feel like you were watching a brand new offense, or did you get kind of some vibe from a little bit from last year?
Not a wholesale new offense, because it mean a lot of the plays, at least in the open field, they looked very similar. I noticed a few plays when we got near the red zone. There were some very clear RPO options where the running back is expecting the ball, and it's pulled away from him and tossed for a quick TD pass. So I'm hoping we see a lot more of that, because obviously that worked very well for the Eagles. And NFL's a copycat league, so if we can copy that to any efficacy, I'm all for that. So I think that's one of the main things I saw, is mixing it up more in the red zone, which I like. Instead of just, okay, you have this bruiser running back, pound it, pound it, pound it, and then kick a field goal on fourth down. No, I'm not about that. Moreover, you should never kick a field goal when you're like first and goal at the one. Just frickin' go for it. And you're fourth and goal at the one, go for it.
Yeah, I'm a points guy, you know.
Yeah, you're a points guy. I'm just frickin' go for it. Mathematics, there's smarter mathematics guys than I do that do those advanced stats. Mathematics works out in that favor.
I will say I am somewhat situational, but I tend to lean, certainly...
Early in the game, frickin' get that touchdown. Well, you know,
this is your first time listening, you'll hear us go down this little mini-argument from time to time. I do have some breaking news, more bad news, actually.
Oh, no.
The cart has come out on the Vikings practice field for Stacy Coley. off of a jump ball, came down presumably the wrong way. I do not have much more information on that, but that is from Arif Hassan, a reliable source, to say the least. So,
dang it.
More to come there. Coley definitely.
He looked like he was taking a step from last year.
You know what? Stace Coley, kind of a fan favorite vibe you get a lot. I mean, I think a lot of fans like him, a lot of interaction over the last few seasons with the fans. And sure. I think a lot of people were probably thinking he's going to make the team this year. Now, Treadwell has emerged a lot more than a lot of people would have thought. But, I mean, there's some battles here for. You know, I'm just, you know, there's some battles. So
I will say on the Treadwell, though, Treadwell was there last year. It's just Case Keenum never got past a second read, which was Thielen and Diggs or Diggs and Thielen.
Right.
So Treadwell was there. He was open a ton. Yeah. Same thing happened in this game. I think Simeon missed him quite a few times. Like, one of them was a clear touchdown if he throws it at him. So, yeah, I mean, not to pick nits here, but I don't think that's the emergence of Treadwell. I think we finally have a quarterback that might be actually able to make a third read on the field.
Right.
So, but yeah, Stacey Coley, like you said, is a bit of a fan favorite. I think he was probably a favorite to win like a wide receiver 4 or 5 position.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's not a long-term injury. Hopefully it's just precautionary. We'll obviously have more news on that for next week's show.
Yeah, and if anything else comes out here in the next little bit, we'll definitely, break that for you. But
in the next portion of our favorites returning segment, Mike.
Oh.
I don't think you're ready for this. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Kicker update 2018. Kicker watch 2018. Hashtag kicker watch 2018.
Exciting news.
How did we kick in the game?
We kicked fantastic.
What do we got?
We had Mr. Carlson go 4 for 4 from extra points.
Okay.
And also make two
That's
field
an
goals.
Upgrade.
Okay. 2 for 2. Not just, I shouldn't say just made two. So he was 6 for 6, and one of his field goals was from 57 yards.
Woo!
And there was plenty of leg on that
Ooh.
Kick. So, granted, it was in the Rocky Mountain air, but still outdoor. Outdoor stadium, and he...
What was the other field goal from? 57 and a what?
Let me pull that up for you here. You know,
was it under 30?
I don't have everything here.
Like, come on, you're half the stats guy here.
Well, I am. Well, yeah, I'd say I'm even more than half the stats guy.
But... Whoa, okay. Trouble in paradise here, folks? So, yeah.
4th and 6, it looks like maybe a 51-er. Does that sound right?
51-er, nice. I made a 51 and a 57?
I don't know. Now see it. Now you're really...
Well, why don't you do a Pro Football Reference?
They don't do preseason.
What?
Yeah.
Pro Football Reference. You got to get on your stuff, man. That's horse hockey, okay?
Maybe, I mean, if they do, I just missed it. But I already went there today,
regardless.
You know, doing a little show prep.
It's not really important.
I'm going to find it now, but yeah, let's...
okay,
let's
keep on finding it. I mean, the guy banged through a 57-yard. I think we touched on this last episode. To have that extra leg, to have a leg that you maybe could try for a 60, 65-yarder if you need it, that's nice to have. It's nice to have in your back pocket where, you know, you're driving down the field late in the second half. You know you're getting the ball and you in the next quarter, right? You're driving, and you can only get so far, and then you call a timeout, and all of a sudden now it's a 63-yard field goal try. Nice to know that he has a decent shot at hitting that. Nice to know he's got the leg to get it there. As long as you can block for him, he's got the leg to get it there and try for that extra three. I don't know. It's I'm still on the fence of who we actually take here, because, the tried and true is nice. Definitely is nice. But... You gotta have that extra leg, and you gotta make your dang extra point kicks.
Right.
That was my big problem with Kai. Every point mattered with this defense. So, any update, Mike?
No.
You ever find it?
ESPN's struggling too. I mean, everyone's struggling here.
Struggle bus over here. Well, we'll see if we can get that for next time. Anything else we want to add here?
From the preseason game?
Wrapping up preseason game. things to look forward to with the joint practice coming up here.
Yeah, so what, Jacksonville comes in for 2 days of practice?
They come in tomorrow.
So when's, is it?
Oh, they fly in tomorrow, and then we practice Wednesday, Thursday with them.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would say, in my opinion, the two best defenses in the NFL. You know, I know the Eagles are going to have their whole say that they're up there, too. And
38-7.
Few other squads, but I think probably in Houston certainly has has a solid defense when healthy. You know,
that's a huge asterisk for them,
right? San Diego also a good defensive team, but they've already had some injury issues this year as well. So I think probably the two best defensive teams. A lot of questions at the quarterback spot for very different reasons. You know, Cousins just new team. A lot of people seem to think he's overrated, and then you've got Blake Bortles, someone that has been not good, but then last year kind of, you know, came around enough to get him to the AFC Championship game.
Well, heck, turned it on versus Pittsburgh to put on, like, what, 48 points, something like that? Yes, a freaking basketball score of a game.
Yeah, it was like 48-45 or something like that.
Yeah, something ridiculous like that, so... obviously, he's capable of scoring points when he needs to.
But. Yeah, no, so, I mean, I think it's exciting to, just like you said, as long as you can change it up a little bit and you get other NFL players in, whether it be a game or these practices, which I think all teams do now.
Or they try to, at least.
Yeah, you get them in, and it's good. It's another level of competition, and I think it's good for the guys to get used to that. As early as they can, and the rookies too, to compete against you know, other guys that are out there playing for jobs. And then the second preseason game, you know, it would just get it. We're gonna get to see. You think we'll see two series out of Cousins this game? Or
I wouldn't be surprised.
Depending how it goes, obviously.
I think it still follows the same mantra that the Zimmer had going into the game one here. Is as long as the first string offensive line is in, that's how long Cousins will be in. You have $84 million starting that quarterback. There's not a damn chance you're going to risk him with your backup offensive line.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we'll see a couple series. Maybe 2-3. I don't know. Like you said, it kind of depends on the flow. If they go 3-and-out, I could easily see it being 3 series. If it's a decent, like, 30-40-yard drive, I could see it being 2.
Yep.
Probably maybe you're trying to shoot for 10-15 plays total.
Let me throw this at you, kind of tying back to last game and coming into this week and certainly maybe even the week after this. But Mr. Barr, that situation, you know, not playing. Do you see him practicing against the Jags? Is this a contract thing going on? Is it a holdout going on that we're not hearing about? Is it?
No.
It's kind of a weird it's starting to get into a weird situation a little, maybe?
Here's the reason why I don't think it's a holdout.
Am I looking too much into it?
I think you are looking a little bit too much into it. I don't think it's a holdout, right? Because he's already making $12.5 million this year. That's not changing. That's not likely to increase. That's not likely to decrease. He's making what he's going to make this year, and that's very handsomely paid linebacker. Regardless if he gets a contract extension before the season or if he hits free agency and he leaves after the season, that's not going to change the way he should approach this year. In my mind, it really shouldn't. The only reason why I could think that they're keeping him out is because maybe he's been typically having those kind of nicked up seasons where something just kind of bothers him the entire year. We've kind of seen that with the play. It's been up and down where there's obviously years where maybe his wrist is not 100%, so you can just kind of tell he's got it wrapped or some weird way, and he just isn't 100% from what you know he should be. So it could be precautionary to that extent, kind of like a Linville thing, where you don't need to put those treads on the tires yet. Maybe they're even trying to keep his exotic packages a secret, right? So they don't want him out there to kind of give away some of that stuff yet. So it could be something like that where we're intending to use them very exotically.
Okay.
But I don't think it's contract related. The only thing I could think of, like I said, is it's minorly health related where they don't want to risk him getting nicked up before the season starts.
Okay.
So I definitely think he'll play a third preseason game, but how much? I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Only other thing I had was kind of around the NFL. Roquan Smith did sign today. That was something we had kind of touch base on a show or two ago about how he was the last first rounder that had been holding out. Did come to an agreement with the Bears this morning, I think, or this afternoon. So sounds like he might be in camp as early as tomorrow. And then Aaron Donald, I do not believe reported on that the following day after we recorded last week.
I still don't think it's reported yet.
No, but it sounds like Pro Football Talk is stating that the Rams and Donald are finally closing in on a new contract, which I know you were curious on how logistically they're going to make that work with them only having something like $950,000 in cap space this year. But maybe
it's going to be very interesting to see how they structure that.
But it sounds like they are indeed trying to keep him a piece of their future, which to you and I makes a lot of sense. But
allegedly, from what the reports say. But we also came out and said we weren't trading Percy Harvin.
True.
So, you know, it's all perception. It's kind of one of those things where teams will release, like, oh, this is what we offered this guy.
Yeah.
But they don't release full details of that. Like, maybe they offered $50 million over 2 years, but it was really only, like, $10 million over 1 year, and the rest of it was complete bullcrap. So, I think it's partially a game they're still playing right now. So, I don't know. We'll see what comes out of that. If I'm the Rams, I'm making that my top priority to get him in the building before week one, obviously. I don't think that should surprise anyone that they need him in the building, because that takes their defense from absolutely elite monster tier to, well, they're okay.
Right. No, I mean, other than that, I know those were two things we had mentioned we were going to follow up on, so what else you got for me?
That's all I got, man. I'm still excited for this year, even though we've suffered some injuries yet in camp. Still excited. I think this team has a chance to be very special. I think our boys at Good Morning Football agree.
Yeah, they're hyped.
So, you know what? If you're out there, you're not on this hype train yet, I gave you permission to get aboard. Maybe if you want to, just kind of run right next to the train for now. We're still moving pretty slow, but it's about to pick up speed. You better hop on before it leaves the station and you're left in the dust, because we're going, all right? We only got better over the offseason. We got better in one of the most critical positions. Our defense has gotten better. We've picked up better depth in a lot of key areas. We're ready to roll.
No,
we're ready to roll straight to Atlanta.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We hope, certainly, that you guys are going to stick with us, guys and gals, stick with us here for all of it. It's going to be a fun year. We talked about how good the NFC is stacking up. We get to see a lot of those teams in the first 5-6 weeks.
Going to be a big test.
We don't have the luxury of seeing, you know, feeling this out and then seeing how good this football team is. We're going to see how good this football team is right away. You're going to play a team that's probably on one of the longer winning streaks in the NFL right out the gate. Week one, going back to last year.
Yep.
Then you've got your arch rival week two in the Packers. And then, you know, shortly after that, I think you've got the Rams and maybe the Eagles and, yep, you know, all. So it's going to be fun. We're going to hope that not only our team, but all teams can stay healthy. And yeah, we're looking forward to some awesome content. We're going to be going probably a couple times a week here now as we're ramping up, pushing content to you. And then, like you said, if you got questions, throw them at us. We'd love to.
Throw them at us, man.
We might start working in kind of a question segment. And
depending on how many questions you throw, you know? Yeah. You got any questions, any random things?
But,
we'll talk about it.
What, noon? Noon Central start Saturday against the Jags?
I believe so, yes. Yep.
And we were just talking before the show, if you're in the greater Minneapolis area or Minnesota and you're looking to come down and see that stadium for an affordable price, this is an awesome time to do it.
Preseason's a great time. If you have...
$10 probably gets you in the door.
Yeah, if your budget is not a lot to go see the Vikings game, I would especially try to target a week three or week four. Typically week three if you can, because that's when you get the most started there. That's not always a home game, but definitely. Yeah. Preseason game, if you can't afford the tickets, because I know the stadium tickets end up being like $100, $150, $200.
Yeah, they're crazy.
That's a lot of money, you know? Yeah. But if you can't afford that, like you said, come on down to a preseason game. You can get tickets for $10. Oftentimes the stadium isn't even full in some of these earlier games.
Yeah.
So you can get down and get some better seats for essentially free, as long as no one catches you.
You can kind of tour too. You know, you can get it without the crowds. You can
that
get
whole
to see
plaza, yeah. It's really nice. They did a really good job there. You can get down there.
It's going to be beautiful.
Go to some of the local eateries.
Beautiful weather. Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah, it's Nets Stadium. It's gonna be the day games in that stadium are absolutely gorgeous. It's like there's no ceiling at all in that place. Just lights up so gorgeously. So if you haven't been, highly recommend it. Like I said, Saturday noon, come check it out.
Yeah, we might be there. Never know.
Vikings versus Jaguars. Where else are you going to get that matchup? Well, maybe next year's Super Bowl. Yeah, but maybe, we'll see, you know?
We won't get that. Hey, predictions are coming up. You better be working on yours.
Oh, come on, Mike. Come on. You know me. I've had my predictions set since the schedule came out.
That's my fear.
Anyway, that'll do it for us. Skolger signing off at Nemoc7.
At Musky Mike. Skolgers.com. Climb the pocket.
We're everywhere, man. We're all up in your podcasts. So take a listen. Check us out. Fire some questions on Twitter. We'll see you next time.
Bye.